This is Wisconsin Today.
Starting this Friday, the Oneida Nation is set to hold their annual powwow. The event features hundreds of Indigenous dancers and drummers from around the country. And this year marks the 50th anniversary of the celebration on the Oneida Reservation, just west of Green Bay.
Michelle Danforth Anderson is getting ready for the event as the Marketing and Tourism Director for Oneida Nation, and Ronnie D. Goodeagle Jr. is a Master of Ceremonies for this year's Oneida Nation powwow. Ronnie, thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
And Michelle, thanks for being with us.
Glad I could be here today.
Michelle, this year is Oneida Nation's 50th anniversary powwow. Can you talk about the significance of this event reaching its 50th year?
Well, what's really actually exciting is that the powwow actually started back in 1870 around the 4th of July, and then it kind of trickled into the 1914. Oneidas from Canada would come down here and they would bring songs and dance and have some celebrations, but it wasn't until the 70s when they moved it to the Norbert Hill Center. And so that is actually what we are celebrating. It's the 50th time that we are actually doing an in-live, in-person powwow at the Norbert Hill Center in Oneida, Wisconsin.
Ronnie, can you talk about the importance of a powwow for bringing a community together?
Basically, it's kind of like a celebration of life. You know, people can come from all, you know, walks of life, different tribes, different nations, you know, native and non-native. And there's always like food and vendors, arts and crafts and things like that. But then they have traditional powwows and they have contest powwows. So traditional powwows, there'll be dancing and singing, but it's not necessarily for like a competition, you know, like big prize money. And you can kind of get more involved into like the traditional doings and different things that partake around that. And then contest powwows, like Oneida powwows, they have a lot of prize money, a lot, you know, big competition. So you get the big names in the powwow world for singing, for drumming, you know, singing and drumming. So the drum contest, you know, I think it's 13,000 for first place. So, you know, a drum will show up and they might have, you know, anywhere from 8 to 12, 13 singers. And then, you know, they got to be in tune. They got to know their songs and, you know, everything has to go just right, you know, because then the singers, they're the main thing for a powwow, that drum. Because without the singers and without the drum, you know, there wouldn't be powwows. There wouldn't be the celebration like that. And then because they control the tempo, they're the voice of the ceremony. You know, and then throughout the history, you know, these our people would trade ceremonies, would trade songs, would trade, you know, dance styles, you know, because in the history books they always talk about war, you know, these tribes versus those tribes, but they never talk about the times of peace. And during those times, you know, those tribes would come together, and they would, you know, sometimes they would trade ceremonies, they would trade songs, or they'd gift ceremonies, gift songs, you know, and that was a way to, you know, bring back that friendship, bring back relations, bring back, you know, being a good human being to one another, you know, because there's a lot of times when relatives would fight and all like that.
That sounds great. Michelle, Ronnie painted us a great picture of the powwow for somebody. You're expecting, I think, thousands of visitors this year. For somebody attending a powwow for the first time, what would you tell them to watch out for, to make sure that they saw and experienced?
I think probably one of the coolest things to experience is a grand entry. So what happens is our event runs Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So Friday night, we have a grand entry at 7:00. Saturday, it's at 1 o'clock and 7 p.m., and then Sunday, it's at noon. And what happens with the grand entry is all of the dancers will end up in the arena. So the veterans come in first, the men's traditional, smoke dancers, grass dancers. There's all these different types of dancers. The women come in, and they fill the arena, and it is just this amazing feeling and amazing sight to see all of these dancers. All the drums will ultimately play as they're going through this, through the grand entry. And so that would be really one of the special times if you really want to really capture and really see and feel what a powwow is all about. That's part of it. And then the second part is After we have specials, we have different dance categories that will contest it out for prize money. But then they also have, they start to go through all the categories, and Ronnie being one of the MCs, they talk you through all the different categories and the good things. There's also food, there's craft vendors. There's a whole array of different things to experience when you come to our grounds in Oneida, Wisconsin.
We're talking to Michelle Danforth Anderson and Ronnie D. Good Eagle Jr. about the upcoming Oneida Nation Powwow 50th anniversary of this event at its current location. Ronnie, both you and Michelle have mentioned the role of veterans when I've attended powwows in the past. Veterans very important, very much respected, leading the grand entry as Michelle was taking. Can you talk about veterans and their role at powwows?
These dances, they started off, you know, as warrior societies, a lot of the men's dances. And then at one time, you know, way back in the day, it was only the warriors that were allowed to dance, you know, because they come back from a, you know, like a war party, or they come back from a hunt, and then they would come tell their story through dance. You know, when they would come back to the camp, they would send somebody ahead and let the camp know that they were approaching, and so they would get ready, and then they would make a, you know, my elders told me they'd circle the camp, they'd go around the camp, and then before they come in, and they dance, and they would tell their story through the dance. So we like to honor them, we like to show a lot of love and respect for them, and because of these dances, you know, we put them up front. We bring our Eagle Staffs, you know, the original flag here on Turtle Island, North America, you know, and then, you know, they bring the United States flags and all the other flags, POW and all the military flags, you know. So we honor them that way, because this day and age, it's our veterans. They're the warriors, you know. Like I was saying before, these used to be warrior society, some of these dances they come from. So, you know, we carry on that legacy of honoring our warriors.
Michelle, is the powwow also a chance to honor Oneida Nation history and the long story of Oneida people in Wisconsin, New York, and at other places around the continent?
For the Oneida powwow, you know, even though it's the Oneida powwow, we actually get dancers and drummers and singers from all across the country. So it's really actually more of a shout out to acknowledge all the Native tribes across Turtle Island. And that's really, we are welcoming to anyone who comes through the doors, regardless of if you're Native or non-Native.
Ronnie, I understand in addition to the dancing and drums, there is four-on-four traditional lacrosse at this event. I have never seen that in person. Can you describe that to us?
Yeah, I'm kind of excited for that. Hopefully I get to go down and watch it. I have a few of my sons, they play lacrosse and, you know, and continue to play lacrosse and kind of excel at it. You know, I don't want to like brag them up or nothing, but, you know, I'm a proud father of some lacrosse players. And growing up in South Dakota, we didn't really have lacrosse over there. And then as soon as I come over to Oneida, Wisconsin, the Green Bay area over the last 20 years, I got to watch it. And the first time I actually really watched it was at the powwow. I was just there as a dancer. And then I was like, what's going on down there? And they said, oh, they're having a traditional lacrosse game. And I was watching it and I was like, man, this is awesome. And I just sat there and I was kind of in awe, you know, to see it that way in a traditional form. You know, they say it's the creator's game, and they have a story of how it came to be and how it pleases the creator. And then in Oneida too, they even have a traditional games, or they call them medicine games. So they'll have a games for certain individuals to help them out with that, with the energy of the players and the things that they go through, and to help the relatives that are watching, you know, it might be a game in honor of them. And then as far as this four-on-four lacrosse tournament, I know it's I think it's Ojibwe style, and I'm kind of unfamiliar with the Ojibwe style, but the different tribes, we have different sticks, the Iroquois sticks a little different from the Ojibwe sticks. And then you even go down south to like Mississippi, the Choctaw relatives down there, they have they call them stick games, but it's pretty much like like the same thing, but they'll use two sticks. And so different tribes had various ways that they played the game and that they conducted it, but it's all pretty much similar.
We'll leave it there. Both of you have a great powwow this weekend.
All right.
We will. Thanks for letting us be on the show.
Michelle Danforth Anderson is Marketing and Tourism Director for Oneida Nation, and Ronnie D. Good Eagle Jr. is a Master of Ceremonies for the Oneida Nation's powwow. That powwow runs Friday to Sunday on the Oneida Nation Reservation west of Green Bay. We have a link up at WPR.org.